Welcome to Facebook and Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk NASCAR news. You know, Rod, I've done quite a few Facebook lives and podcasts this week, and I've talked all these controversial things, protests and riots and COVID news. Let's go to something not controversial at all, like the end of a NASCAR race in Bristol. Wait a second. There was some controversy there down in Bristol this weekend. Take us into that. Brad Keselowski gets the win this weekend. Maybe the bigger news, though, was Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, and their dust-up.
Well, Brad Keselowski was in the right place at the right time. He hung around. He was ready to go. And this is the argument that I've had with a lot of people concerning the Chase Elliott, Joey Logano situation. I know that one of the fans had kind of wrote me on Facebook and said, Joey Logano, that was his race to win until Chase Elliott took him out. Well, you know, I tend to agree with that. But I also agree with the fact that it was also Chase Elliott's race to win. He just, you know, all he had to do was just pull across the finish line and win that race. Because when you are under 10 laps to go in an event such as Bristol, you have no friends. You have no teammates. You don't have anything. You are racing for the win. It doesn't matter how you do it. If it means, sorry, slap your mama or slap your grandmother out of the way just to get to the finish line, you've got to do it. I mean, you can't hold back on this. But I think the unfortunate thing was going back and watching the video a little bit more and watching Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott, when he was making his move on Joey Logano, he got loose in the turn. I saw the rear end kind of round the right side. And I think he was trying to control that. And once he did, he slams into Joey Logano. Joey Logano had put himself up there in the first place. He was trying to get some traction up on the higher bank part of Bristol. And then when that happened, it was just a recipe for disaster. Both cars, I mean, Logano hits the wall. Chase Elliott hits him. Both cars are taken out. And then lo and behold, here comes Brad Keselowski in to take the checkered flag and win the race. It was a great race. I think it was probably one of the best Bristol races I've seen in a very long time, because I think Jeff Gluck, who has a column on The Athletic, he had put up a little thing, an informal poll the other day, and it had won 94.9% over the 2019 race at Bristol with a 94.8 rating. So they came away with a big confidence boost at Bristol.
Yeah, I had to race on too, and it amazed me that the wide shots they would show, that 0.533 mile oval, you get a sense when you see that distant shot of just how tight that racing is, because literally all you can see is cars. You don't see a lot of space, and they're all over the track, and then you realize they got to pass each other
right,
to the positions they want to get to, and so it's not surprising to see that bumper bumper to bumper, the paint swapping at the end there. Brad Keselowski, once again, I before we came on, I called him the lucky dog of all lucky dogs. He's won two races in the last week. One last week, a late caution helps him coast across the finish line. And then this one where he's in third place, the top two guys knock each other out. I mean, you got to be in those positions to be able to do that. Those are two nice wins on his resume.
Yeah, it is. It's two great wins for him. It improves his stock. I think I said that last week when I was talking about the fact that he is negotiating here toward the end of the season. He's going to be, whether or not he's going to be back at Penske, who knows? I mean, this is one of those guesses right now that nobody really understands what's going to be happening until somebody makes an announcement and says, we've signed Brad Keselowski to a multi-year contract, or Penske comes out and says, hey, we've got him back for about two or three more years. So we're just going to have to wait and see. It was a great win for him, though, altogether.
So your thoughts, you're a guy who goes, you cover Bristol for us in person and have for the last several years. You had to watch this one the way the rest of us did virtually. Your thoughts on how, from your sense, at least, all the folks you know in Bristol, how did this weekend go in Bristol for NASCAR?
I think it went great for NASCAR in the sense that they're back to a little bit more of what we know is racing and what Bristol is known for, with a little bit of the banging, a little bit of the beating and so forth that they put on each other on the track. I think the thing that was so disappointing out of the whole thing was, you know, the fans. They couldn't be there. The fans are hurting once again out of it. But, you know, I know they're taking precautions out of this. They're trying to go and make sure that everyone is protected and everyone is safe out of it. But NASCAR has definitely proved that they can have some races and they can do so without having fans. unlike some of the other sports right now that are debating as to what to do. And I think everybody's still scratching their head and wondering, you know, here's the NBA. The NBA is coming out and said, okay, we're going to have so many teams come to Orlando. We're going to play basketball in Orlando. I guess they're going to play down there at Wide World of Sports at Disney. And they're going to play. But Major League Baseball can't, you know, go and, you know, say, this is what we're going to do right now at this point. And there are some owners in Major League Baseball that are saying, hey, why don't we just, you know, throw the tarp on the season? Let's just end it. I don't want to lose any more money than what we already have. NASCAR was in that same kind of situation. NASCAR was faced with, you know, millions and millions of dollars this year in their contract. And they had to go back and they had to say, we've got to get these guys out here on the track or we're going to lose some revenue that's going to be able to keep this sport going. And I think they made a very wise move. It's just sad that the fans aren't included in it right now. And it's not that they've done this on purpose to them by any means, because you had some people there at Bristol that had made the trip. They came, they camped out at the Earhart campgrounds. They're pretty close to the racetrack and they were there. They just wanted a chance to peek in and see what was going on. They tailgated, essentially, is what they did. They had parties out there in the campgrounds and watched it on television. They had a great time. But it's still, it's just not the same thing. And I'm hoping that we're going to get at least a sign here sooner rather than later that we're going to be getting some fans back in the stands. And I'm predicting maybe as soon as July, we might see some fans starting. Who knows? We may get some fans maybe on a 50% capacity sort of thing at Indianapolis when they have that big race that weekend. That's where I think it's going to really take place. They'll see how everything's going at that point, and then they'll decide whether they're going to go through with it or not.
Yeah, Indiana's governor last month, when he first rolled out the plans for that July 4th weekend, said that they were hoping they would be able to have fans in attendance. And, you know, I'll say this. I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, and I don't really care if it's controversial or not. What we've seen in this country the last several nights, I guess it's going on, this will be the sixth night, and I presume there will be more protests in the streets of cities across the country. We've seen thousands, tens of thousands, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of people in streets. Now, you know, you can tell me that some of those folks, a lot of those folks are wearing masks, whatever the case, they're not social distancing. They're wearing masks. Right. Some of them are not. They're definitely not social distancing. They're not staying 6 feet apart at all times, to say the least. And so, hey, if that can go on, you know, we're not saying let's fill up 150,000 in Bristol, but, you know, if we could put a fraction of that, whatever that fraction be, a third or a fourth of that in places like that, we've seen them in the streets. Why can't they be, you know, in the arenas and in NASCAR's coliseums?
Well, you know, I agree with that. I think the one thing that has been so hard for some people to adjust to has been the fact of the mask, and especially in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's been such a big controversial subject of having a mask on, wearing a mask into the store and so forth. But the guys in NASCAR, whether it's in the pit crew, you know, some of them are going to complain about, you know, it's hot, it's sticky, it's nasty down in the pits. But these guys who are on the pit crew are wearing these masks. They're going through with it. If they're not wearing the mask, of course, they've got the helmet on, the safety helmet and everything. And I know some of the drivers don't like it either. But if we can have some fans and we know with some kind of reasonable safety sort of thing in there, that we can have fans and put them into the, you know, there into the last great Coliseum or any other racetrack for that matter, I think it works out great. On the flip side of that, you've got some people, well, especially when I saw that they had opened some things up down in Tennessee. They opened up a racetrack, and then they opened up a racetrack, I think, in North Carolina somewhere. And these people are packed in as tight as sardines in a little cheap tin can. I think that's pushing it a little bit. But I also look at it on the fact of things. If it's a local race, if it's a small race at a small track somewhere, yeah, you're going to pull some people in from some different areas. But if it's in a fairly remote area, you know, I don't worry about it as much, because I have to say, I work in one of the remote counties in the state of Virginia right now that's not even had one case of the coronavirus, knock on wood. And I've got to say that the other two are Bland and Bath counties, and they're fairly remote as well. So we're talking about this, and it's good to just be, I guess, more than anything else, a little bit more proactive about things instead of being reactive. And I think that's what we've done in a lot of cases in the early beginnings of this whole thing, coronavirus. It was a lot more knee-jerk reaction before we really knew what this thing is capable of. And now we've kind of got a handle on it. Well, let's just make sure it doesn't happen again and kind of let's take it easy, but kind of mind our distance, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, okay, one, when the governor's executive order in Virginia, for our viewers across the country, you're dealing with your own silliness, I'm sure, in your state. But in Virginia, our governor's executive order says, yeah, facial covering is required in public. And then it says, he says in a press conference, well, it doesn't matter if it's an N95 surgical mask. It could be right. A bandana or a scarf. And that tells you just how silly it is. If you're telling me I can put a sock around my face and that's enough. But on the other hand, okay, I say that. On the other hand, if it allows me to go to a NASCAR race, if it allows me to go to a baseball game, I'll put a face shield on. I just want to go out and be able to do something. So, you know, I'm one of those who thinks it's silly. But, hey, look, if it's what it takes, then sign me up for it.
Well, I'm the same way. I felt the same way that if I'd had the opportunity to go to Bristol, you know, I wouldn't have gone as far as one of the hazmat suits or anything like that. But I would have wore a mask. It wouldn't have bothered me one bit. I would have been tested. Unfortunately, you know, I know they say the testing part of it is really rough because they're putting a little test stick, a Q-tip sort of thing, back in your nose. And it almost just literally, to the point, just makes you want to gag and throw up after it's all over with. But I've been willing to do that just to give myself peace of mind also and others around me. Hey, I'm okay with this and so forth. But I would have worn that mask. It wouldn't have bothered me in the least.
They could put a trash bag on me if they let me go to a game. So baseball game, especially. I wouldn't care as far as that goes. I just want to go do something right now. Let's switch gears. We'll talk Atlanta, which is coming up this weekend. Hey, we're slowing the schedule down now. We've caught up with all the midweek races are over. We're heading to Atlanta this weekend. Let's talk some sort of in the garage news, if we can say. NHRA schedule is out and about. Tell us what the NHRA has in store for this year.
Well, the NHRA the schedule has been pretty much decimated by the cancellations going back as far as, you know, March, right around March and April when everything started being canceled. And that included the Father's Day Traditional Classic at Thunder Valley in Bristol. You know, we had that scheduled to come up here in the month of June. That has been now pushed back, but at least we got some good news today. Ron Capps had put it on his Facebook page. He said, hey, I've got some news for you. We've got a schedule out there. And so I went to it and immediately started looking at some of them. Chicago is not going to be on the race schedule. And I know, I believe Norwalk, Connecticut is not going to be on the schedule, but they are going to a lot of different places. Gainesville, Florida is going to be one of those places. They're going to be going for one of their races. And Bristol is going to be coming up in October. It'll be the second weekend in October of this year. So hopefully everything will go as planned and they'll be able to get some things started. They're going to actually start the season up in July. They're going to start in Indianapolis. So take a hint here, NASCAR. Let's see what you can do. It could be a boom of a month for the state of Indiana if you've got NASCAR, you've got IndyCar racing on that weekend, and you also throw in the NHRA drags, especially in that month of July. You could get a good month of some revenue from some people that's desperate to go watch some races.
And we'll hope that we'll have you physically in Bristol this this October. Of course, we'll hope we have you in Bristol for NASCAR earlier for the second race there. Other news from the garage, and I'll introduce this news this way. The world is so weird now. I follow Clay Travis on Twitter. I avoided Clay Travis like the plague for years, and now he's one of my favorite people on Twitter. And so, Rod, when you said to me before the show, hey, let's talk about Nashville coming up on the NASCAR schedule next year, I already knew because Clay Travis is going crazy over this. So tell us about Nashville and what they have in store for next year.
Well, for a lot of people that don't know, there has been a very strong movement in NASCAR to get racing back in Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, Nashville's historic. I mean, Darrell Waltrip raced there, the old Fairgrounds Raceway, Sterling Marlin, Cuckoo Marlin, his father. There's been a lot of great drivers that have raced at Nashville at one time, but they have a sticking point. And that sticking point right now is, what are they going to do with the Fairgrounds, the grounds itself there? Because it's pretty close, not far from, I guess, from where the Titans play, but also Nashville is getting set up with an MLS soccer team now. They're going to have a soccer team down there. And some of them are not exactly privy to the whole idea of having a NASCAR race right in the middle of what they think of a cultural event as a soccer game and Titans football just across the river or just across town. So what has been proposed, what came out was, we're going to race in Lebanon, Tennessee, which is just a little ways outside of Nashville to the east. And they're going to be racing there next year, 2021. They call it the Nashville Super Speedway because out there, it's about a 1.33-mile course that's kind of stretched out into an oval. It's a really nice track. NASCAR had raced there before in the Truck Series and also in the Xfinity Series, but this will be, mark the first time that they've ever ran a Cup Series race there. And so good news for Nashville. They're going to get a race finally. The people at Dover Downs that own Dover Speedway, Dover Raceway, they have been gracious to go and give up one of their Dover dates. So we always go to Dover twice a year in Dover, Delaware. They're actually going to have a race in Dover, and then they're going to give up a race that they normally had, which was sometime around July or in first part of August, sometime around there or in September, and they're going to give that to the Nashville Raceway. So it's big ado going on in Nashville right now.
That's great. Nashville needs to be back on the circuit. That's awesome news. And yeah, if you'd have told me 3 months ago that I'd be a big fan of Clay Travis on Twitter, I would have asked you how many times the horse kicked me in the head before that happened. Let's wrap up by going back to Atlanta now. So tell us about Atlanta. Do we have any kind of regularity to like what we used to know about NASCAR? Do we have qualifying? Do we have practice, whatever? Or do we just get back in the cars like we've been doing lately and then get us ready for the race in Atlanta this weekend?
I think what we're going to end up having is exactly what Brad Keselowski has been talking about. Brad Keselowski said after the Bristol race that he hoped, as far as he was concerned, NASCAR would throw this qualifying thing out of the, you know, ballpark, just get rid of it. Let's go to doing things the way that we've been doing it right now. And that is no practice, go in there, don't even qualify, but let's just see how we can go on the track. And I think it has proven to be far more exciting in the past couple of weeks doing that. The only exception that we've had of qualifying was at Charlotte for the 600. Now I can understand that race being a big race, it's 600 miles. You want to have something at least to be prepared and know what you're going to be expecting. But you know, you're going to Atlanta. It's almost a cookie cutter style track is what Charlotte is. But you know, for me, I think it's just a wonderful idea that Brad Keselowski brought this up. And he says that this reintroduces the human factor into racing once again. He says, we're always so perfect. They expect us to be perfect when we go out there on the track. Then, you know, when you're perfect, it's kind of boring. If you're not practicing, guess what? We've got incidents like Joey Logano and Chase Elliott and some of the others that happened over the weekend at Bristol. So I think that this weekend at Atlanta, we'll see much of the same. I don't think there's right now, as far as I know, there's not supposed to be any kind of practice or anything going on. I believe they're going to draw out of the hat once again and see how it goes. It goes from there. But we're going to see a different track than what Charlotte is. Charlotte is a well-maintained track. Atlanta is too, but the pavement is old there. It's not been paved in a long time, and it can be a beast on those tires, much like what Darlington is. Darlington is one of those tracks that eats up tires. Atlanta can be one of those tracks that eats up tires. And if we get into a hot spell this coming weekend, and, of course, I know they're talking also possibility of the tropical storm coming on shore and everything by that time. Who knows? We may be in a rain delay. We may be going on a Monday. I don't know how it will go. But still, anybody's guess right now what Atlanta could hold for some people.
I was going to ask about the weather. I had not looked that far ahead. And what is it about this spring? What is it about this year? You can't have anything good. We're trying to have all these NASCAR races. Tropical storms keep running up the coast. The hurricane season isn't supposed to start until June 1st. I know it's June 3rd. Now we've already had two. This will be our third. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody up there doesn't like us right now, Rod.
Well, I know. And then just before we go on the air, I find out that there is a stadium-sized asteroid on its way to Earth. It's supposed to buzz the Earth this weekend. And, you know, that's in measurement, that's about as from the top of the Empire State Building to the main part, the main base. And I'm like, you know, what else can you throw at us? I'm waiting on Independence Day. I'm waiting on something out in L.A. to just be blown up from a big disc that just shows up and a blue beam pop out of it. 2020 has not been a great year.
Our luck would be the asteroid would hit and it wouldn't do anything. That asteroid would end up like running from us. I saw a tweet to the effect that those two guys who went up in that spaceship last week, they're the smartest two guys on Earth because they left.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's what I've read too as well.
I'm scared of heights, but I think we maybe should have joined them, Rod. Space station seems pretty safe right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your insight onto this, Rod. And we'll look forward to, during the races, I should mention to our viewers and our listeners on the archive of this, during the race, Rod is often all over Facebook and Twitter. And I know my wife, the digital editor of Augusta Free Press, Crystal, mm-hmm. does a great job of keeping up with your social media messages and reposting them to ours. So for those out there who kind of want to know what Rod is seeing and thinking during a race, he's willing to share, and we help share it on Augusta Free Press. So thanks for what you do, Rod, for us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.